Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and today we are discussing Baylor's Black Gospel Archive. The Black Gospel Archive is a program within Baylor Libraries, housing numerous efforts to collect, preserve, and promote Black Gospel music. Many pieces over the years, once in danger of being lost forever, have been preserved within the archive through the initiative within it, the Black Gospel Preservation Program. Earlier this year, the Black Gospel Archive was awarded a nearly $2.5 million grant from Lilly Endowment, Inc. to support a major expansion. With us today are Stephen Newby and Daryl Stewart. Dr. Newby serves as the Lev H. Precher III Endowed Chair in the Study of Black Worship in the Baylor School of Music. He's a professor of music and ambassador for the Black Gospel Music Preservation Program. Daryl Stewart serves as Director of Digitization and Digital Collection Preservation Services within university libraries. Independently and collectively, they do a lot of great work for Baylor and for the archive. And they're with us today on the program. Stephen, Daryl, thanks so much for joining us today.
Boy, it's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It's wonderful to have you both here, and it's an exciting time. And, you know, I want to start off with a broad question that we can dive into over our next 20 minutes or so together. And Daryl, I'll start with you. When people ask, so how are things going for Baylor's Black Gospel music efforts these days? It's had some different names over the years,
sure.
But just overall, what's that been looking like lately?
Well, lately we can say that it's going better than ever. Mm-hmm. Things have really changed in the last 18 months. It's really started with bringing on Dr. Newby here. We've been...
Bro, you're so kind.
We've been basically in a rinse and repeat mode. You know, we get materials in. Many are donated. Some are loaned to us, but we're in a digitization mode where we're digitizing, placing the items online. Items that are donated to us have been stored before the actual Black Gospel Archive was constructed. They were actually stored in the back corner of a library. So back in 2021, when we opened up the Black Gospel Archive, that kind of started to move things along. Then Dr. Newby came on, and he really injected a fresh energy into the work that we were doing, the day-to-day digitization work that we were doing. And after he started to look for grants and found an opportunity with the Lilly grant, and we applied for the Lilly Exploratory Grant. And that gave us some money, January 2024. And so we were able to set up sessions with consultants. Folks on the grant team were able to travel to places across the country and see where we wanted to take this program over the next 5, 10, or 15 years. We're lucky to have Dr. Newby for 5 years, but he really looks towards the future. So he is working to set up his position as being the first one in the Pritchard chair as something that will work for the next 2, 3, 4 people that will fill this position down the line. And so work on the exploratory grant was so successful that after meeting with the Lilly folks via Teams, we were able to apply for the implementation grant. And we received it in November. Money kicked in January. So we're already in the period of the $2.4 million implementation grant.
Right. And we've already created a symposium and concert that took place last month featuring Kevin Bond and his band, as well as the Reverend Dr. Dwight Andrews, who's professor of African American Studies and Music Theory at Emory University. So we've been on the move. We've been just pushing the envelope in a really, really cool way. What is amazing is that we have an amazing team. All the people that are working side by side, doing the daily grind, but also stepping up when we are responding to what the grant is calling us to do. Religion in the public square and making sure that this music and this sound doctrine is sounding the alarm to take note that these are great stories, great music regarding all of our humanity flourishing. And that's what we get to do together.
It's incredible work for sure. And as we're talking, I'm thinking back, you know, over the years, Bob Darden, who retired after a great service to Baylor over the decades, you know, this started as sort of a gleam in his eye. And we saw it grow from a gleam in the eye to a room in the library to a highly regarded operation to the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. And so it grew so many ways that we've been able to see here at Baylor, and some of those we discussed with him and others on this program. It's in a bit of a new phase, it sounds like, in some exciting ways. And you're both talking about that, but I'd like to dive in even a little bit more with that. The grant from Lilly, it seems like it's not just the cause of what you're doing, but it's fueling what you're doing. Is that a fair way to say it?
Right, yes. Fueling, and it's literally funding
what
we're doing. Daryl, do you want to talk about the space?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So in our implementation grant, we were able to put down what we wanted to do to expand. So there are multiple components to this. One is a physical expansion, and the other is a spreading the word, right? Which is why Dr. Newby had come up with concerts and symposia that I'll let him talk about. But as far as growing the space, we're currently working in a 600-square-foot space. Like I mentioned before, it opened up in 2021, called the Black Gospel Archive and Listening Center. This expansion is going to add 1,200 square foot to that space. We will increase our holding storage from about 30,000 disks to about 65,000 disks, with a hope that one day we actually have 100,000 disks in the space. So this will also give us space to have a Hammond B3 organ. It will increase our classroom capability. The Black Gospel Archive has been hosting classes in there ever since we opened in 2021, and noticed that we need more space. We need more classroom technology. So we will easily be able to hold 30 students in the space with a flat panel, a very nice sound system so they can listen to the Black Gospel music through the sound system. And we'll be able to hold events there, but I'll let you talk about the concerts and symposia.
Well, Baylor University is an institution of higher learning, and we're an R1 institution, and we're Christian. So we're taking what we have and we're sharing it with the world, Pro Mundo, as part of Baylor's strategic initiative, you know, Baylor Pro Texicana, now Baylor for the World. So we're taking this out. We're going to different spaces. We're going to Detroit, Michigan, and having a concert and symposium. We're going to go to Chicago, which is considered the home of gospel music as we know it, with Thomas Dorsey, and we're going to have a symposium and work with various institutions there, particularly the one in Detroit, which is the next one coming up in fall of 2026. We're working with Wayne State University, and we're working with the Detroit Institute of Arts. We're bringing together scholars. We're going to have roundtable discussions on the legacy of gospel music in Detroit and beyond. We're going to do that in that space. So Baylor, we're going to show up there, collaborate with these other institutions. We're going to bring our wares. We're going to bring our scholarship. We're going to bring some of the things that we would like to share and reflect on. For example, the history of the Hammond B3 organ. That's one thing I think we're really going to highlight when we get to Detroit. And we're going to talk about that and nurture that because we value that. That has a great story in itself. But these are the types of things we're going to look at when we get into this symposium context, when we're going to share in the concerts. We're going to have interviews and testimonies from elders in the community there that have been around this music historically most of their lives. And we're going to document, bring this stuff back to Baylor, transcribe it, write about it, and do better, deeper dives with this.
You know, as you describe this, there's the concert, you mentioned the symposiums. I'm curious how much of this is getting the word out to other scholars. You know, I know, for example, tell me if this is a good analogy, not Browning scholars around the world have come to learn over the decades that the Armstrong Browning Library is a cornerstone place to study those works. Is that what we're building here in the Black Gospel Archive?
Absolutely.
And is there a need to get that word out? Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And our artist in residence, Kevin Bond, who's going to be with us for 4 years, is part of the idea of getting the word out. Kevin Bond, he was a record producer, was still producing, but he worked with Kirk Franklin, Edwin Hawkins, Walter Hawkins, Yolanda Adams, and the list goes on and on. And he is another ambassador here for the Black Gospel Archives, the BGA. So this is really about networking. I think what you're seeing, the first phase with Robert Darden, as Jesus would say, the net was on this side, but Jesus is saying, cast your net on the other side of the boat. So I think on this phase, we are actually casting the net on the other side and working this network beyond the golden age of gospel music. And these people are alive and we're bringing them in. We want to continue to develop the archives in a way where we're asking them to make physical contributions of their music and artifacts for here at Baylor.
This is Baylor Connections. We are visiting with Dr. Stephen Newby, the Lev H. Pritchard III Endowed Chair in the Study of Black Worship at Baylor, and Daryl Stewart. Daryl serves as Director of Digitization and Digital Collection and Preservation Services within university libraries. And, you know, Daryl, this is such a big part of what university libraries does. You know, I know a lot of us who have been students, we go to the library, we think of studying, and we think of finding books or documents online. But the work you all do is so multifaceted. Tell us a little bit more. You know, we talk about that idea of this being a repository, that we want scholars from all over the world to come and partake in. Tell us a little bit about how these efforts fit within that broader university libraries umbrella and what it means to Baylor.
Sure. And it did really start off as just a digitization project. But now that we have the Black Gospel Archive and we are actively acquiring gospel materials to add to the archive. It really is a collection now within the libraries. And so we're making a strong effort at this point with some good university support, great support from our dean, Dean Archer, to have funds so that we can go out and buy some of the rarest gospel materials. Before, we were in more of a passive mode, waiting for people to donate or loan materials to us. And that's been greatly successful. We've had Mr. Bob Maravich out of Chicago share his entire collection with us. And we've been digitizing that collection for years, and we will actually finish up this summer. And it is a rich collection. Also, Mr. Opal Nations out of Oakland, California has donated his complete collection. We just finished inventory on it, and we're beginning to digitize that now. And so on top of those, we are looking and aggressively bidding on some of these discs, some of them that are so unique can run from $400 to $1,000 for a single disc. But it's important that we acquire it, because if a collector acquires it, you know, it'll go in his collection and it'll sit on his shelf, and I'm sure he'll get great enjoyment out of that. If we acquire it, we will digitize it, we will digitally preserve it, and we will make it available to the researchers, to the musicians, to the scholars around the world. So it's very important, the work that we're doing right now, and that is that current phase, that is that casting the net now on the other side. It's really giving us an opportunity to work this program differently.
And I would add, Daryl's work, you know, is huge. So he's not only director of the digitization, but he's also the director of the Black Gospel Archives. This thing is evolving and expanding, and once again, you know, casting the net on the other side. So part of the grant is to help us expand our staff, because there's a lot of administrative work, a lot of networking, a lot of getting on the phone, a lot of emails, a lot of building relationships. And the idea of doing this work, we are finding that to sit in our humanness and to realize that this is not just work of diversity. It's work of unifying our humanity. You see, as an African-American male coming into this space, people would say, oh, you know, what's going on there? Baylor's doing this. How come it isn't an HB, you know, historical black? Well, God didn't allow that yet. But what God has allowed now, what God is doing now, you have to pay attention to the cues, to clues, and the codes. And so Baylor is special. Baylor has a unique call. The libraries and the museums have a unique calling. And Daryl and his team and I, we all have a unique calling to steward this opportunity in a time where there's so many distractions that we are creating a possibility for attractions. To what? I'm glad you asked the question. To the gospel, to the good news, and to this good music, and to this great work. And so I just want to give a shout out to Daryl, sir, your direction, and your team. Great kudos for this work that you're doing. It brings joy to the university.
You know, as people are listening, if they would like to learn more, I imagine some people already have dug into this music a little bit within the archive, but you mentioned that the listening room, there's online archives. Obviously, this is going to expand. This grant is going to change the physical space. But if were to happen to walk over by Moody Library right now, what would they find if they searched out the archive?
Well, I would say come in with an imagination. Go pull out an LP. Then go into the listening booth. Put that LP on and listen to it. And if you happen to be a musician who's a keyboardist, then move over to your left side and start playing along with the music. It's so invitational. It stirs the curiosity. That's what's so wonderful about the space. You will find a world of wonders in sound doctrine with this story of the African-American heritage and more. I think that's what you're going to find. Daryl, what do you, you got another angle too, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, that was beautifully said. What I can add to that is that this archive is unique. And this really came, this idea really came from our dean, Dean Archer. He wanted the archive to be designed in a way where visitors can come in and pull the archival materials right off the shelf. And just like Dr. Newby mentioned, play the LP. All of those materials have already been digitized and digitally preserved. And placing that vinyl on the turntable and listening to it directly from the vinyl is a different experience. And the listening center, the listening booth that we have in there gives you a really beautiful private experience with that music, and you can sit there and be with that music. So, and I'll also add that in the archive right now, we've got about 8,000 discs in there. So plenty to choose from.
There really is something about still popping a record on the player, right?
Oh,
a vinyl LP.
Yeah.
And the needle hits.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, putting that needle in the groove, literally, that's where the groove came from. You know, the idea of groove, what is it? Well, it came from the LP. And then you've got opportunity to open up that album jacket and read liner notes and imagine the musicians that lived and served in community to make this music. It is an experience. It will take you back. I was in there yesterday, and I pulled the Aretha Franklin album.
I saw that.
And once again, I just go back in the 70s when I was a child, and my mother would play that music all the time. And listening to that Aretha Franklin and the James Cleveland album with the coming out of that West Coast and listening to that sound and the memories and just sitting and basking in that sound, it takes you back, and it allows you to appreciate and sit in the joy of both the lament and the praise that we hear in the music.
Well, as we visit with Daryl Stewart and Steve Anubi, our time is really flying. We're heading into the final couple of minutes here. And as we close, I want to ask you both, you've painted a picture of what's going on and what's yet to come. But just kind of to summarize here, Daryl, I'll start with you. What are you most, when you envision what's ahead for the Black Gospel Archive in the next few years, what are you most excited about?
Ooh, quite a few things. First, the expansion of the physical space and the ability to hold classes comfortably in the space, the ability to host speakers in the space will be great. Additionally, the networking that Dr. Newby had mentioned is going to be absolutely critical for what we can do over the next 5 to 10 years. It's the contacts that Dr. Newby and Kevin Bond have will greatly expand the visibility of this project. And so I'm excited about the physical expansion. I'm excited about the expansion of the network possibilities. And then I'll add one other thing. We received the intellectual property rights for the definitive gospel discography. And so we are now working to structure that, and we're working with a vendor right now, a vendor developer that will allow us to put this discography online. This had always been in print and published, so that's another aspect that that I'm excited about and will be funded by the Lilly Grant. So yeah, I think that's what I'm looking forward to most. So
I would say ditto to all that. This music, this opportunity, this space, the community space, is a space of grace. It's invitational. It's ecumenical. It's ecclesiological. It will allow people from different denominations to come together in a very, very cool way. And it also, this music is also reaching people that we would never ever imagine connecting. And I think maybe, we had not talked about this in a while, Daryl, but remember you got that letter from that other guy?
The recent letter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just those who are incarcerated.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, being able, you just never know who you're touching. And I think what this is doing is actually allowing Baylor Christian University, our one institution, is to go beyond its own walls, to go up to borders and to build bridges where people haven't even thought, those who are incarcerated, those who are oppressed. Pro Mundo, I think at the end of the day, the president and the provost of Baylor University and the deans, they've charged and challenged all of us. What does it mean to be Baylor Pro Mundo? And I think the Black Gospel Archives is a bridge to that space.
Well, that's exciting. It's exciting to envision what's ahead, but it's exciting what's happening right now. We've seen it grow so much and are looking forward to that further growth through the Lilly Grant. And know you all deserve congratulations on that once again, and we're excited to see the ways that's going to fuel and fund the work that you all are doing. Well, Daryl, Stephen, really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for sharing, and thanks for the
great
work you do.
Thanks for having us.
Great.
Here.
Thank you for having us.
Appreciate
yes, definitely.
Wonderful to have you both here. Daryl Stewart, Director of Digitization and Digital Collection Preservation Services within University Libraries, and Stephen Newby, the Lev H. Pritchard III Endowed Chair in the Study of Black Worship, our guests today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. Reminder, you can hear this and other programs online, baylor.edu/connections, and you can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for joining us here on Baylor Connections.